Now, verse 4 is another verse that's going to illustrate to us an interpretation of Scripture, a method that is entirely wrong. For instance, it says, "The chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightnings." Now, this, by the way, reveals here that he's talking about the chariots of the enemy and the chariots of the Assyrians. And it would be probably a battle that would be settled by the enemy using chariots. You see, what happened was that when the enemy came against Assyria, they had a well-defended city. That is, it is said that Nineveh had 1,500 towers, and each one of them was 200 feet high. And Diodorus Siculus, a Greek historian, is the one who gives us that information, by the way. So that Nineveh really was a well-defended city. But at the time of the siege, the Tigris River got up and flooded, and it took out an entire section of the walls. In other words, it did what the enemy could not do, breach the walls of Nineveh, and the enemy was able to come in and penetrated into the city itself, into the city of Nineveh. And then they used the flooding methods that had been for irrigation actually to flood the palace, so that was the way the enemy was able to take them. And then the breach was so great that the chariots of the enemy could get in and the others. Now, what you have described here is nothing in the world but the chariot battle of that day. Now, there is an interpretation of prophecy today. I deplore it myself. And I regret that at the present hour that we see so much of it. And here is an example of it. There are those that say that this is a prophecy of the automobile. Well, Sir Robert Anderson spoke of the wild utterances of prophecy mongers. And we need to recognize that today there's a great interest in prophecy, and great world events are taking place, great crises are taking place, and you can become fanatical in this, and you can go overboard in it. Winston Churchill said a fanatic is one who can't change his mind, and he won't change the subject. And some today are just dwelling on prophecy, and after all, that's a limited subject, and they then become rather fanatical in interpretation. And I heard not long ago an interpretation given that this is a prophecy of the automobile. Now, friends, it has nothing in the world to do with the automobile. And I don't think you can even make that kind of an application of it, for the very simple reason that the automobiles don't rage in the streets. To tell the truth, sometimes the drivers do. And when you get tied up in traffic, you can rage. But the automobile doesn't rage. It just manages to stay right there and not move at all. And sometimes when it's time to move, you can't move it if you got a vapor lock. And they don't jostle once against another in the broad ways. Actually, when one jostles against another one, it means a wreck. And it was on New Year's Eve. I went out to a New Year's Eve service of a friend of mine, a young man had been on my staff when I was pastor in downtown Los Angeles, and I went out to his service because he's a very excellent preacher, and I went out with a friend of mine, and we never saw as many officers, and that was New Year's Eve, out on the freeways here, and there was one wreck after another, apparently quite a few drunk drivers out that evening. And the important thing is that automobiles just don't jostle one against another. Well, what's he talking about here, jostling? Now, if you have ever been in a museum where they do have some of the Assyrian relics, you have seen on the chariot wheels, that is the hub of the chariot, you have seen a sickle, and it's like a sword or a sickle, and it is an instrument that's very dangerous. It extended out from the wheel, and the one driving the chariot would go up as close as he could get to the enemy when he would meet the enemy, and this very sharp instrument would cut off his wooden wheels, for many of them had wooden wheels, you see. And that would put a chariot out of business right away if you could cut off the wheels on one side. And that is the jostling together that is mentioned here. It hasn't anything to do with the automobile. And when it says they'll run like lightnings and they shall seem like torches, well, they move so fast in that day. Now, for our day, it would be very slow. But the Assyrians had developed the fighting by chariot to a very fine degree. And so the enemy had picked that up. And when they clashed in the broad ways of this city and outside the city, why, the battle was a frightful, horrible thing. And that, my friend, is all that he's talking about here. Now, I believe that you can make a moral and spiritual application from the Word of God. But I don't think that you can take this up and interpret it in a literal way for our day. You see what a remarkable book Nahum is? This is another great principle for interpreting the Word of God. Now, when you read that there's going to set out in the future strange slips in that land, don't say they're orange trees, because the orange, that's its natural habitat. The land of Israel, in fact, that whole area, grew oranges way back in the days of Solomon, because when he speaks in the Song of Solomon of dwelling under the apple tree was the orange tree. And as a result, may I say to you that you don't take scriptures that have an interpretation for a different people at a different time and bring them up to date. May I say to you, that's what I call the same thing that Sir Robert Anderson called the wild utterances of prophecy mongers. So here is another great principle of the interpretation of Scripture. And so what we have here, and I do not want to dwell now too much on details through the remainder of this book, because actually what we have here is a very detailed account and a very vivid description of the actual destruction of Nineveh. And this is prophetic. It was given about 100 years before the city actually was totally destroyed, so that it's quite a remarkable prophecy that we have before us. And it's one that gives us the detail of the description of the destruction of the city. And it was absolutely total annihilation of the city, so much so that actually it was not until about 1850 that the site of Nineveh was located and excavated, and we knew so little about this place. Now, I want to mention this again, that the little book of Jonah and the book of Nahum go together. Actually, what you have is, first of all, the prophecy of Jonah, or the little book of Jonah, actually not a prophecy, and it is a record, an account, of his missionary activity in the city of Nineveh and that entire area, where the total population turned to God, and God spared them. And then 100 years goes by, and you have the book of Nahum. Now, in my book on Jonah entitled Jonah Dead or Alive, in it I give a description and an account of the way that this city was excavated, some of the findings that took place there. A great deal was learned about this city of Nineveh and about that civilization at that particular time. Now, when time went by, they departed from the Lord again, And now Nahum is raised up, and his entire message is directed against Nineveh. And what we have here is just an apt description, a very vivid description of the total destruction of the city.